Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda Ellsworth here, and I'm so excited about our guest today, Jay Kilbrun. He is the author of Off the Beaten Trail, an inspiring memoir about his journey leaving college and solo backpacking through Central America at 18 with no phone or knowledge of Spanish. An emerging leader of his generation, he has reached thousands of people through his blog posts, inspirational videos, and motivational talks at high schools and colleges. Jake has been featured in Psychology Today, Thought Catalog, the San Diego Union Tribune, and various other sites. He is dedicated to empowering people to live a life of purpose through listening to their inner voice, heeding their intuition, and then taking action. It's my pleasure to welcome Jake.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Well, Jake, why don't you just take a few moments so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better and just sort of fill this in. Tell us how you got where you are today and kind of the life you're living today.
Yeah, of course. Well, today I'm a motivational speaker specifically for youth. So speaking at middle schools, high schools, and colleges, an author of the book, which you mentioned. And all of this came really, I would never have guessed 2.5 years ago that this would be where I am, but that is how it played out. And it really began about 2 years ago when I was entering college. I was 17 and ready for my first semester. And shortly after arriving, I broke out in hives and rashes, like all over my body. And it continued almost every day. And I ended up being diagnosed with chronic urticaria, which is kind of like a fancy name for saying your skin's freaking out and we don't know why. And that was a period in my life where I started developing really just severe anxiety. I never knew why my skin was breaking out. But the blessing in that was I started to question the why. I started to question my path. And after many months that were not, it was not a great time in my life, I realized that the path I was going down just did not feel right. And I had this desire to experience different ways of life. And I eventually had a talk with this counselor, and she essentially asked me, like, what is, you know, the worst thing that could happen if you do this? And I remember thinking about it. And I remember there was this girl who was, she passed away in a car accident. She was 21 years old. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, if that was me, would I be happy with the life I was living? And the answer was no. And then she said, well, okay, well, if you did leave school to do this exploration and some travel, what is the best thing that could happen? It was in that moment I kind of tuned in and I imagined myself like volunteering in these other countries and meeting people from all over the world and maybe even writing a book about it. And this was about 2 years ago. And that was it. And I left and went on this journey and came back and spent 16 months writing a book, funding a Kickstarter campaign to self-publish it. And that's led to everything going on today.
That is great. So I have a couple of questions for you in that. One, I just want to tell you, I can totally relate because there are times, and now I have to be careful with it, when I put too much on my plate or I get super stressed out. And one was when I was writing my own book because I had a publisher, but they had given me these strict deadlines to continue to get my advance. And we basically had to write 380 pages in 4 months. It was insane.
My goodness.
Yes, if you can even imagine. And my body reacted with this skin rash all over it. And it was very difficult for me to get a grip on that. And basically the doctors just said, your skin's freaking out. Like you're,
yeah.
And you're like, and it almost said like your skin's almost allergic to itself. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I've had to learn, like, for me, it's how much I put on my plate. But I don't think a lot of people understand. So when I read this, I'm like, I totally can empathize with you because it looked like I had poison ivy all over my entire body. Like for me, it's all in my stomach and area. And it's, you're trying to speak because I've got speeches and I'm itching everywhere. And it's the craziest thing. It's terrible. So I totally empathize with you on that. I just thought I'd share that. But the other thing I wanted to ask you in this, and I know this is kind of off topic, but I love it that you're speaking to young people. And there's two things that I just wanted to ask you. Do you think, or, you know, this could be just you're like, I never thought about it. But we're hearing more and more that some kids at 17 years old just are not ready to start college. And so it's becoming more and more popular to take what they're calling a gap year. You know, they graduate from high school and then they take this gap year before they start college, especially when they're on the younger side of it. You know, some people are on 18 and they turned 18 somewhere, you know, early on in their senior year. But for the kids that didn't and are 17 years old, this seems to be a common thread. Are you seeing that? I'm just curious.
That's an interesting question. I think there definitely is a rise in the gap year popularity. I know it's very common in other countries. And I think because what I learned on my trip was that it is really not as expensive as people might think it is to go abroad. And I think that more and more kids that I'm hearing of are going to be, you know, taking that year off, because a lot of 17, 18-year-old kids just like, A, they don't know what they want to do with the rest of their life and, you know, the physical, mental, emotional, financial pressure of starting something for 4 years can be a lot. So I think it's definitely going to be picking up.
And then there's something else I'm going to ask you about. And if you don't know the answer or stats, just say, you know, I don't know a lot about that. But what we do know from things that we're reading, and I've even owned my own experiences on a local basis, is that teen suicide, and even in the middle school and then early, like freshmen in high school, we're just seeing an increase in suicide. And do you feel that in speaking to these young kids, are you helping them to recognize either this depression or the stress that some of them are under with performance or getting into the best college? Are you addressing that with some of them? Like, I'm just curious, because I think anything that we can do to help kids feel more confident in themselves and more empowered in themselves, that we can help this feeling of desperation that they're feeling, that they would go to the measures of taking their own life. It saddens me greatly. Do you have any thoughts on that? Or
yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest points of my speeches when I speak. I mean, like you mentioned, the suicide, it's crazy. I think for ages 15 to 24, suicide rates have tripled since the 60s. And there's essentially like an anxiety and depression epidemic. I know anxiety is now the most common mental health diagnosis on college campuses, and there is a lot. And so every time I speak, I essentially share my story. And I didn't get too deep into it with you, but I could go a little bit more, is that, you know, during this time, I was like 17. I turned 18 shortly after the year starting college. And with everything, my skin stuff, like on the outside, my life looked great on my Instagram or Facebook or whatever. You would never have known. But deep down, I was really struggling, and not many people knew. And I reached out to this counselor, a career counselor, and it essentially, you know, turned into therapy. And I really felt stuck, though. And I kind of went through this really tough time on the day after I was at Ohio State, and I know you're in Michigan, so a little rivalry. But the day after Ohio State won the national championship 2 years ago, I thought that was the first day back for the second semester, and I had considered not going back to school and doing the traveling, but I like kind of convinced myself, I was like, you know what, I'm going to give it another shot. I did really well in school my first semester, so no one really knew except my parents, really, that I was really unhappy. I went back. They won the game. I remember posting a picture on Instagram of the celebration. I remember waking up the next morning, and I went out. You know, there was thousands of kids going out. It was kind of a crazy scene.
Sure.
I remember feeling trapped the next morning, because I woke up feeling awful. I checked my phone. I had all these texts and messages from people saying congratulations, all these different things, and I felt completely miserable, because I felt like I was living a lie. I felt like everyone around me in this 50,000 student campus is so happy, and I'm not. And I felt like I did not know what to do. And that was the first day that I knew I couldn't make it to class. Like, I really felt like there was a weight on my chest. And so I really, I pour into that conversation with, when I speak, I share it. And at the end, I always tie in about the power of reaching out, because that counselor really helped me get through it. I saw her maybe five times the first semester. And I think there's a lot of different factors that go into this whole dilemma today. I think social media is definitely a factor. I don't think social media is just a tool, but I mean, there's a lot of studies that show the correlation between, like, you know, Facebook use. The higher the Facebook use, you know, the higher chance of, you know, you being depressed, or the more social platforms you're on, the higher chance of you, you know, having anxiety and depression. And there's other ones that show, like, you know, the dopamine we hits we get from checking our social apps is like the same, our brain reacts the same way as cocaine. Or there's a University of Chicago study that showed that it's more addicting than cigarettes. So there's all these crazy things going on. We're growing up in a very interesting age, and with the pressure and social media and just kids feeling like they have to be the perfect whatever, it's causing a lot of problems. And that's one of the things I'm most passionate about, because I remember I really felt stuck. And before I left traveling, I had a really rough 2 months wondering, did I, like, I was like 18, but I was like, did I mess up my life? Like, what happened? And just to be able to share that, I think, is powerful. And hearing other students sometimes open up about it is extremely powerful.
I'm so glad that you're sharing these statistics, and I would love to chat more with you about that. Maybe that could be a whole nother interview that we do for this podcast, is how is social media shaping people's lives? Because one of the ways I've seen it, so not with the younger generation, I'm really interested in that, but I believe you're right. It's like this fake world that people live in that they feel like they have to live up to. And everybody's judging. Like, I think more people are worried about how people judge them today than even 20 years ago, because everybody sees. Everybody's got an instant picture into your life. And it is this facade that people are living, like you said. You explained it so well. It's like, everything looks like I'm great, but this is how I'm really feeling. And it's interesting, because with adults, what we're seeing is the correlation is when I ask people if they have goals, you know, so who in the room has goals? And, you know, we know goals are your benchmark to success and what you're going to achieve. And more people are not setting goals. And their reasoning is, I don't want anyone having any expectations of me.
Wow.
So in adults, it's even, I don't want to lay out my goals for anybody, because then suddenly someone has an expectation of me that I don't want to be accountable to. So then consequently, they don't set any goals. And then consequently, they just spin in the same place, never getting to where their dreams are or getting where they want to be. So there's a correlation that continues in adulthood, but it's this youth that I just admire what you're doing. I have another really good friend who is a musician, and he really speaks to kids on suicide awareness and prevention. So how can we recognize it in other students? And he does it all through sort of rock and roll music, which grabs their attention. But I think that anything that we can do to help our youth recognize some of the feelings that they're having is awesome. So I applaud you. I'm super excited.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a big thing. And it's good that a lot of people are starting to open up and use their voice to make a change in what's going on.
So tell us a little bit now about your business and how it's shaped your lifestyle.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, actually. And I've definitely learned, as of recently, the importance of keeping track of my documents as I'm preparing for some, like, health insurance and tax stuff. So that's been a journey in and of itself, is just keeping track of everything. It's been pretty incredible. I didn't really know much about how to start a business, and luckily there's so much information online. But it's been big for me, especially from a speaking standpoint. That has been pretty incredible, because it's opened up all these different opportunities to have experiences that I might not have had, and it opens different doors. And of course, being able to sell my books in different spots, whether it's farmers markets or street fairs, it's been pretty cool to have the opportunity to do those things, where as much as I would have liked to just be able to do it without having a business, they kind of require that you have all this information. And also facilitating workshops. I did my first workshop, I think it was about a month and a half ago, and to help people kind of draft, get in touch with the things that naturally light them up, help them uncover their why essentially, and figure out a game plan, like you kind of like what you were talking about, is creating different goals on this benchmark that align with one's inherent strengths. And if someone isn't happy, to be able to shift. And that's something I absolutely love doing. I love facilitating. And all these things, it's crazy because, you know, we're always so caught up in our everyday. But when I kind of took a step and looked back, it hasn't even been a year since I've started my business, but it's been quite a ride so far.
Well, that's awesome. So what do you think, because this is one of the, we always call this like an inspiration / training podcast. That's how I try to set it up. But what do you think two of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you so far?
I think one of my biggest ones is just communication. Obviously, as a speaker, that would be pretty important. And as a writer, I think it's just something I've always enjoyed, is being able to articulate, you know, ideas and into words. And whether that's being on the phone with someone for shipping and trying to, you know, get an order a certain way, or just dealing with a potential buyer at a book fair, or speaking and responding to questions and facilitating workshops, just being able to communicate on the fly is something that's really helped me out. And I think you said one or two.
Sure, that's one, and that's a big one. So I was going to expand on that a little bit. Do you have another one you want to share?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you could. I would say, I don't know, maybe I think perseverance is pretty important, I think, especially when being in business or anything, because as I learned, it's from especially writing the book. I know you said you had a crazy deadline. I remember I wrote, it was 106,000 words in 3 months. That was my first draft. And I remember feeling so dedicated, especially to the book, to do whatever it took to get it out there, from getting it in the hands of Jack Canfield and Chris Guillebeau, who's another one of my heroes, to just every little step along the way, which I, you know, as a first-time author, I didn't know how to do these things, but I was so committed to it that I was willing to do whatever it took, from the business to the book to all that stuff.
That is great. And those are two really, really important steps, because perseverance, just to add to a little bit of that, it doesn't matter who you are or how young you are or how old you are. When you are starting a business, it's going to continually have ups and downs. And I can just give you that tiny little bit of advice there. I've been doing this for over 30 years. And you're going to have times where you're sailing so high you can't even believe it, and the world is your oyster and everything is great. And then you're going to have those moments. And sometimes they come, you know, month to month with each other. And you're going to have moments where it's like a bump in the road. And so it's more, the bump in the road isn't like, oh, questioning, is this something I'm supposed to be doing? The bump in the road is, okay, this is a bump in the road. How do I get through this? It's persevering to stay with your dream or to stay with your mission. And too many people abandon it because of the bump in the road. They decide the bump in the road, the slightest little hiccup, and we're seeing this more, actually. People are doing this quicker. It's like, well, that didn't work, and just abandoning something that was really meaningful to them, and it really does require perseverance. So that's my little advice to you. You're saying that's your strength. That's awesome, but you're still very young, and you're going to encounter all kinds of things, and you just need to keep going with what you're super passionate about.
Yeah, thank you. I love that.
The other thing that you said is being a good communicator. And what I really loved that you said, that you might not have even fully recognized, is that people think of communication like, oh, well, he's a speaker. Of course he needs to communicate. Oh, he's an author. Of course he needs to communicate in a good way. But communication is about building trust. And it's about taking care of that customer, which you said, whether I'm at a fair, whether I'm on the phone, in distribution is an issue. And so many people want the front end of it. They want to communicate. They want to let people know what they're doing, let people know what they have to sell. But their communication drops on the back end, which is more in the detail. It's more in the follow-up. And so I just want to make sure people understood that, because when you said it, but not everybody recognizes it because they don't understand the inherent value of it. And it's really important. So when you say a good communicator, it's just not as a speaker, it's in every aspect of the business that you're working. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So share with us one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you've achieved that's super meaningful to you.
Well, I think one of the biggest ones was definitely my first paid speaking engagement was at the high school that I had graduated from in front of 2,000 students. And that was like the first time I publicly shared my story, like especially the things that I talked about before. So it was a vulnerable topic for me. And I remember afterwards, a couple kids shared with me, and this one girl was in tears telling me about some of the things that she was going through and then how she felt so like inspired and hopeful for what she wanted to do and felt like the permission to do it after hearing me speak. That's what she told me. And I think that was a big shift for me because I realized like I always like knew inherently deep down that this story would impact people. But that was the first time like I saw someone so emotional and share that with me. So that was like a moment when I realized this is so much bigger than what I thought it was going to be. And so that was a moment that I'll never forget.
Awesome. You know what? When you know that you're impacting another person's life, there's nothing greater than that feeling. I think for me, even in just giving people sales tools and they've been able to increase their monthly income and been able to do things for their family they didn't think they were going to be able to do, that's what keeps me going and doing the same old, like for 30 years. So I think that's an awesome thing for you to recognize. And when things get tough, don't ever lose sight of that, because at the end of the day, that is what you're doing.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Because I think, especially like when you said you hit that bump the road, things aren't going up. It's like kind of getting back in touch with those high positive moments that remind you like why you're doing something.
Absolutely. So share with us now an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Wow. Especially lately, like I mentioned. But I remember one of the big ones was I ordered about 500 books to my dad's apartment. I'd funded a Kickstarter campaign. So I was sending out a certain amount of books to people, and I was going to be out of town for a couple of days, but the shipment was supposed to come in, I think, a week's time. And I got a notice saying your books will be there tomorrow when I was out of town and my dad was out of town. So I was like kind of worried because I was on a deadline to ship my books out. This was 500 books. They wouldn't just drop off the books at this apartment complex because 500 books is a lot. It would be a fire hazard. And that was like, I kind of scrambled and I called someone who eventually was able to just stay at the home that day and figure it out last minute. But that taught me about timing and making sure, especially from a distribution shipping standpoint, to always make sure you think things through and not like, especially if you're going to be out of town or something like that. That was important. And also giving myself more time, like as the book launch approached and I had to get all these things in order, it was a pretty hectic time. And I wish I would have allowed myself to have more time to get all those things situated, from ordering supplies to ship them out. Like all of it was a little bit rushed, and I wish I could have ordered more things in wholesale to, you know, reduce my costs.
Absolutely. Well, and that's a good lesson to learn, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm super grateful for it because it reminded me of it. And like the other thing I mentioned as of recently, as you know, kind of preparing for some tax stuff, is I had so many different shipping receipts and attending different seminars and conferences this year. And all these things that, you know, as a business, you can potentially write off or to keep track of your expenses. And I did not have a system to keep my receipts. So that's another thing. That's like the big thing that's most relevant at this moment in time, is keeping of a system for filing and keeping track of all my expenses.
Great. Well, we've got a couple things that we might be able to help you out with that. So after we end this call, I'll talk to you about that.
Awesome.
All right. So tell us then, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
For me, working from your happy place is about working towards something that just inherently drives you or lights you up. It's about working on a mission that makes you want to get out of bed in the morning and do whatever it takes to get there. And I think that when we kind of are aligned with whatever that is, and it's going to look different for each of us, I think that's true happiness, because it's not fleeting. It's not, you know, like, of course, some days are going to be harder than others, but the overall process of what you're doing is more important than the outcome. And of course, the outcome is important, but if you love that process, then 99% of the journey will be worth it, even though the 1% award could be amazing, but it's really at the end of the day, the 99 that's going to be most of our life. So to me, that's the essence of working from your happy place.
That's awesome. So before we do our last couple of questions here, our last one, I, if you don't mind, take us back to this journey with your backpack and that experience. I want you to just tell our listeners a little bit about that, because I know one of the things, I get critiques on my own show and they're like, oh my gosh, I wanted to hear about that. And so I'm trying to be more purposeful of, you know, tell us about that, because that is really what transformed you into doing what you're doing today, is what I'm gathering from you. And so tell us a little bit about you. So you talk to your counselor, you leave school. Now you're going to go out on this backpacking journey. Can you just share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, of course. The way I like to tell people is my story is sort of like a young dude version of Eat, Pray, Love meets Into the Wild, but with a happy ending. So I came home, and at first I really wanted to get my skin condition in order. And people are probably wondering, like, what the heck did your parents think? Because I set off on a one-way flight to Guatemala with a backpack and no phone, and which I'll get into. But essentially, I came home, and my parents were aware of, like, I was really struggling kind of from, like, a mental health standpoint almost from early on, although I was doing okay. But they knew that, like, for me to come home, it was like, wow, okay. So I saw a holistic doctor who helped me kind of stop. He told me to stop eat gluten, soy, and dairy, which I had no idea could be exacerbating my skin stuff. And really, I had a moment after about being home for a month when I was starting to research all this travel stuff that I said, you know what? With or without my skin condition, I'm going to travel. Like, I have to do this. It was this, like, calling that just, I felt like I had to do it. I had this, like, burning desire to experience different cultures. So I found this opportunity on a site called Workaway, which connects hosts and volunteers from all over the world. And the guy's thing was, whatever your skill set may be, the people of Pretend need your help. Remember, I reached out to him. I said, I'm 18. I have no professional skills, but I'm willing to make a difference in whatever way I can. And he mentioned he needed some English teachers. And I said, I've played soccer for 14 years. And I obviously, communication was one of my strengths. I said I could teach English and soccer. And we Skyped really quick. And he said, come on over. He gave me these instructions. And I booked a flight that left in a month. And I did as much research about travel as one could possibly do, from, you know, preparing vaccines to researching the area to getting a backpack at REI. Like, I'd never been camping, so this was really for me just jumping into it. And I headed out towards this town. It was like 9 hours away from the Guatemalan airport. Like, I didn't even really speak Spanish other than hola and gracias. And it was quite an experience getting to this town. I lived in this little shack right next door to a family with a couple of the other volunteers, and just teaching English and getting to really feel like I was living in this town. And what's so interesting is, a couple of days before I left, my skin really started to clear up. And of course, at the time, I wasn't aware necessarily of the mind-body connection, especially with stress. And for me, and it sounds like you as well, we tend to, our skin is like a manifestation of some things going on inside of us. So this whole journey was kind of like an awakening, a journey of almost healing and self-discovery. I went out through Nicaragua and I lived on this healing community for 2 weeks, where I was exposed to, like, different meditation and breathwork practices. And so I began on that mindful path, and to see my skin heal and to meet these people with different lifestyles from all over the world, people who are, you know, living off their laptops, wandering the world, working online, to people who had sold all their stuff in the U.S., traveling. It was incredibly eye-opening for me to realize I could take my life in all these different directions. And of course, I met people with just incredible stories of resilience. And I share all of that in the book, because it was so crazy, because when you're a kid, you know, some people have different experiences, but most kids you know, you grow up in one town and you think the world's a certain way. And this whole experience just opened my eyes to the different possibilities out there. So it was really a healing journey of kind of self-discovery and essentially transformation for me.
I love that. I've enjoyed this interview so much with you, Jake. I can't even tell you. I really have.
Oh, thank you. Me as well.
Great. So, Jake, what I really want you to do is I want you to share with people how they can connect with you. So if they want you to speak at a middle school or high school or college, if they want to get your book, where can they get that? How can they connect with you? And what are some new things maybe that you're working on? So I want you to share it all with us. Websites, name of the book, where they can get it. So this is your time. I want you to help our listeners connect with Jake.
Oh, of course. Thanks. Yeah. So my website is my name. It's just www.jakeheilbrunn.com. And Heilbrunn is Heilbrunn. And that's probably the best place to get in touch with me. You can email me. You can check out the book there, which is also on Amazon. And it's called Off the Beaten Trail, A Young Man's Soul Searching Journey Through Central America. And yeah, my name, just Jake Heilbrunn, is essentially my name on all social media platforms and email too. So if anyone wants to reach out, feel free to do so.
That's wonderful. Well, in your parting words, do you have any advice you'd like to give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Well, I think the essence for me of everything from life to entrepreneurship is just, you know, have the courage to listen to your inner voice and follow it. And whatever that looks like for you, if you truly believe in it, just stick with it, because what happens afterwards can be a miracle.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. And I know our listeners are going to take a lot away from this. And again, I applaud you on the things that you're doing, especially for our youth. It is so important. So congratulations on your successes.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.